Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa is dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Kawhi Leonard took the first game in the battle for Los Angeles as the Clippers beat the Lakers 112-102. Kawhi dropped a game-high 30 points on 10 for 19 shooting. LeBron had 18 points and Anthony Davis had a 25-point, 10-rebound performance, but it was Danny Green who had the Lakers team high with 28 points. The Lakers bench was outscored 60-19 by the Clippers. So, Shannon, what did last night tell you?
Skip, it's hard for me to believe that there are two better teams that's going to come out of Western Conference than these two teams, what I saw last night.
Don't sleep on the Rockets, but go ahead.
The Rockets, I mean, obviously Utah and Denver is going to be pretty good. But, man, what I saw last night. Skip, the Lakers obviously have some things they need to work on. This is different for LeBron. LeBron is basically turned into a full-time facilitator. And I think in the process of doing that, it got him out of his rhythm, Skip. He made a conscious, concerted effort to try to get the ball to Anthony Davis. He was not looking for his shot at all last night, and I think it threw him off a rhythm because normally in the previous 16 years, LeBron has always felt, I'll try to get my guys going because I know I can always get my shot. But I think as you get old later in your career, Skip, you probably need to start looking for your shot a little earlier because things are not going to, it's not going to come as easy now as they did in the past. But LeBron was trying to find a rhythm. I don't believe he'll shoot. What did he shoot last night? He was 7 of 19. I don't believe he'll shoot 7 of 19 very many times this season. 18 points, nine rebounds, 8 assists. That's very, very ho-hum for LeBron James. Anthony Davis got up to a great start, kind of slowed down the stretch. And as Jenny read, the difference in this ball game was the bench.
Seriously.
We knew what type of bench the Clippers have. But Skip, I've never seen anything. I've been following the NBA a long, long time. I've never seen anything like Lou Williams. Lou Williams really should be starting, and he really could start. He should start for the Clippers. He could start for a lot of teams, but he comes off the bench, and he's cool with that. But what's unique about him and Trez Harrell, Skip, they play starters minutes. You find very few bench role players that play more minutes than the superstar starters. They played more minutes than Kawhi, which is unheard of. And that's not, and you don't be surprised if you see this happens more often than not. They will play more minutes, Lou Williams and Montrez, than Kawhi. Probably Paul George will probably, they'll probably rival Paul George. Paul is the guy that plays 38, that plays heavy minutes also. But Skip, the difference in the ball game was the set when Doc went to that shock troop. He brought Trez in, he brought Lou Williams in. That was really the difference in the ball game because I thought early in the ball game the Lakers were contesting everything at the rim, and then they brought those guys and they had a little lapse in judgment, a little lapse in defense. And the one thing that we know, night in, night out on a consistent basis in the West, you can have no lapse because guys can get hot. And we saw with Kawhi. Kawhi was basically under control in the first quarter, and then he caught fire in the second quarter, and then Lou Williams got hot. I mean, he was pulling up. Trez is unbelievable because he's tremendous energy. He's going to play tremendous defense, Skip. He gives you great rebounding. He can score around the paint. But it's one game. You told me not to get all up. You know, if you win this game, that's just one game. So that's what you told me yesterday.
Yeah, but you told me that it was going to be a coronation for the Lakers last night.
It was. Right? You heard a cry, right? You heard a cry in that thing. The boom, Lakers, Kawhi.
They booed him. He had to cover the mic at the first so he could keep talking.
Yeah, booed him.
Because the Laker fans took over a Clippers home game.
Whoa.
I know. I heard it.
So, but for him being the, you know, he's going to be the king of L.A. He's the new king of L.A. He can't be the king of his own house. How you go home, Jenny, and your kids and wife boo you, but another dude come in there and they, yay, he home. Stop it. Skip, look, you won the game. You played unbelievable last night. Kawhi was clearly the best player in the building last night. Give him his credit. They played unbelievable as a unit. Mm. And they didn't have to make – the only person that's really new is Kawhi. Doc Rivers is phenomenal. Everybody knows their role. The bench, Trez, everybody that's coming off that bench know their role. Right now, the Lakers are still trying to figure themselves out. When they get the guys back, we're going to be just fine. I'm not overly concerned, and you shouldn't be either.
Mm. So, you act like it was a revelation to the world last night. Lou Williams can really play. It was a revelation to the NBA universe. Montrez can come off the bench and really have impact. Was that a revelation? That's been going on for a long time, and it definitely went on all last year.
Not 60 points, Skip.
Huh?
60 points.
Oh, stop it. They did it all last year. They were really good last year. And they put a little scare into Golden State in the first round until the best player on the planet, who's not playing right now, Kevin Durant, said, nope, nope. In their house, he said, no, you can't do that to me. You could maybe do that to Steph and Clay and Draymond, but you can't do it to me.
Okay,
that's how good they are. That's why I picked the Clippers to win it all this year over the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. And all that for me was validated last night because my biggest takeaway was there's a new king in LA and he's wearing New Balance. And I got to tell you, number two, I hate to admit, made a huge resounding sea to shining sea statement last night during the game on TNT and then when his new Balance commercial dropped in a commercial break. The statement he made was, I ain't afraid of no king because I got this. This is now my house. And I get he got booed by those Laker fans, but he's going to shut them up. As the year wears on, they're going to get quieter and quieter because that commercial, and we're going to talk more about it in just a few minutes, but it was brazen. It was right in LeBron's face because he was not afraid to take subtle and not so subtle shots at LeBron in the commercial with the little crown swinging on the keychain. Did you see that?
I saw it.
And what was LA called? Kawhi Town. Uh-huh. Wow, Kawhi Town. And then it ends with, this is his city. All caps.
Really?
Really. Well, then what I loved about number two last night was during the game, he flat out backed it up. He was, as you did note, you acknowledged, he was the best player on the floor on offense and defense. He won a championship last year in Toronto, and I thought he was lucky to win it, but he did win it. And he was the MVP of the NBA Finals. And last night, I saw a new number two because I know him. I know him from jump because I'm a Spurs fan, and I know him from when he was a rookie. And he used to be my favorite player in his San Antonio days. And I always wanted him to be a little more confident because he played with slumped shoulders and he played with his eyes down in San Antonio. And he was always the fourth wheel to Duncan Parker and Ginobili. And he seemed so painfully shy and so painfully insecure when you could see all the talent. And you'd say, live it, you know, just enjoy it, embrace it, be it.
Sure.
You are that guy, but you don't think you're that guy.
Yeah.
Now he thinks he's that guy. Mm-hmm. And it took that championship he won, quote unquote, by himself. He had some help in Toronto. He had a lot of help.
Yeah. You see Siakam last night?
I saw Kyle Lowry. I saw Van Fleet go crazy. I saw them all, too. He had a lot of help. He had Gasol. We could go on and on. But that was a very good team, and he made it the championship team.
Correct.
I give you that. But I saw a guy with his chest out last night. I saw a guy who was in command and in control. I saw a guy whose team fell behind 13-2, and then he said, no, not in my new house. And he made how many in a row? Seven straight shots.
Right.
Did that not tilt the game back in the Clippers' favor?
Yeah.
And I give you the bench, but I knew they got the bench. Whew. That's a good basketball team,
They
can really defend, and they're really going to make it hard on the Lakers the next three times they play the Lakers. And I got to tell you, I was blown away by a statement that Kenny Smith made after the game on TNT on Inside the NBA. It resounded deep into my psyche. If we could hear and see what Kenny Smith said after the game.
The only guy in the world who could actually do it did it tonight. Kawhi Leonard made LeBron James not look athletic. There's not many guys that can contain him in key moments the way he did.
We saw it last year, but there was no LeBron in the playoffs.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, you're doing it, but you're not doing it against a guy who is the best at it.
Right.
Tonight, he did it against a guy who's the best at it.
He just said that number two made LeBron James, your guy, look not athletic. That's a mouthful from Kenny Smith. And I love Kenny and I respect Kenny and he's been there and done all that. Your thoughts on that?
When LeBron hit that 17-foot turnaround jump in his face, how athletic did he look?
That was early.
When he chased down Landry Shamet and threw his shot out.
Are we really going to give him credit for that? Little Landry Shamet tries to shoot a right-handed layup off the glass,
but by the way,
we got to see it.
Hold on, but you say he don't play no defense.
Okay. Oh, I thought he really tried on defense last night. Okay. But again, it's talking about looking. Okay, that's the easiest chase down in the history of chase downs. A little guard is going to shoot a right-handed layup off the glass?
And he got two charges.
Okay.
But here's the thing, Skip. I'm trying to figure out. It wasn't like LeBron was guarding Kawhi. I mean, maybe twice he guarded him when they caught him in a pick and roll and LeBron switched out on him. But for the most part, LeBron didn't guard him. LeBron was not trying to take Kawhi off the dribble last night. He was trying to feed Anthony Davis in the post. They made a concerted effort to get Anthony Davis the ball. And he said that we're going to play through AD this year.
Okay.
Why have him if we're not?
By the way, speaking of chase downs, could we see the Kawhi block of
Dwight Howard?
Could we see
that
please?
Foul.
Huh? I don't think it's a foul.
I think this is.
Whoa! You don't think that resonated with his teammates?
Hold on, Skip.
He did that.
Yeah, we got them
to him. Whew! That's Dwight Howard, and he gets him from behind, and it resonated. And I got to read before I go on with my spiel here. This is a quote I read from Doc Rivers after the game about number two. Okay. He said, he was intense. If we could see it, please. I think we have a full screen of it. He was intense. You could feel that. I think Ty Lue, who's now obviously Doc's assistant, said, look at him on the jump ball circle where everybody was moving around doing all their gestures. And Kawhi was just standing there. You could just see he was like, throw the ball up. Let's get this on. Ty was right because that was number two's body language. And I got to admit publicly, I was so impressed with him last night that I had the urge today to call him by his name on the show. I really thought about it because he used to be my favorite player and he was acting like a guy who could become my favorite player again last night. Then I slept on it and I said, maybe I should wait and think about it for a little while.
Skip, what I don't get is that Kawhi has always been really an emotionless player. Kawhi really never shows any emotion. Remember last year when they tried to high-five him on the court and Kawhi wouldn't high-five any of his teammates and they really had to come to him. I think it was Van Fleet actually grabbed his hand and shook his hand. You remember?
Yeah.
So what happened last night? I mean, Kawhi played unbelievable.
He just looked different to my eye. And again, I know him from his rookie year and it's been a slow growth.
Yes.
But once he grew up in Toronto and he took his talents to L.A.
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, like when you're a young player and you come in and there are guys that have won championships before you got there, for the most part, there are some guys. Now, Kobe would have been different. Kobe's like, hey, I don't care what you guys want. I'm better than all of you guys. That's how Michael was. I remember James Worthy was telling the story about he and Michael. Michael playing him one-on-one. Michael thought he was better than James Worthy, who was player of the year. But that's not how Kawhi is wired, Skip. Kawhi is like, look, you guys are the elder statesman. I'm going to show you guys respect. But once he got going, Skip, it took Tim Duncan moving out of the way. And once Kawhi won Defensive Player of the Year, and all of a sudden he started becoming an All-NBA player, he's like, yeah, I'm really that dude. And then going to Toronto and winning a title with really no other superstar players around him, he's like, yeah, I'm that dude. That's why he felt, Skip, that's really one of the main reasons I felt he could go it alone.
Yep.
He's like, I did it.
Yeah, I did it.
I can do it again.
And I'm going to L.A., and I'm not going to join those two.
Yeah.
I'm going to join him over here
on
the stepchild, the Clippers, because he grew up in the L.A. area.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll go to the number two team in L.A., and I'm going to make them number one. Now I'm going back to your guys, and I'm not going to give them a pass because the other shock to me from last night was just how quiet LeBron and AD got in the second half.
Yeah, they were bad. They were bags.
Whoo! How about, especially in the fourth quarter, when they just became non-factors? Mm. And I look at these numbers, LeBron, fourth quarter, 1 of 4, 0-1 from three. No free throws. Not a free throw attempt in the fourth.
He only attempted four the whole game.
Okay. He did make three. I give him that. So you're, what are we, is that 75%?
Yep.
He's right there, right?
Okay. So far, so good.
Today, you would win the bet. We have 81 games to go.
A couple more.
Okay. So LeBron manages 2 points, and his new running mate, the guy they're running the offense through, Anthony Davis, scored zero in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis took a grand total of 2 shots in the fourth quarter and missed both. He had a grand total of 1 rebound, and he had 0 points. This is the man you said will be the MVP of this league, right?
Yeah.
This is the man I told you, wait a second, the spotlight at Staples might be a little too bright for Anthony Davis. Did I not tell you that?
Skip.
That was my big preseason theme. That was a fourth quarter spotlight on TNT in what felt like an opening night playoff game.
It felt like it.
The atmosphere was unbelievable, Skip. But do you believe that Anthony Davis and LeBron James, how many more times do you believe they'll combine to go 15-40 from the field?
I trust LeBron more in that situation than AD because he's never been in that. That was different. That's like, uh-oh, I just woke up. I'm in Hollywood, and everybody expects me to be the star of this show.
Well, the game, the Lakers did a great job. Danny Green caught fire in the third quarter, Skip, and he brought them all the way back, and they were tied, I think, either 85-85 or 88-88 going to the fourth quarter. And they were right there, but the turnovers, they had 6 turnovers. LeBron had 3 of them.
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter alone, yes. And LeBron knows you can never relax if Pat Beverly's around. He's in the front position on the free throw line. He relaxes. Pat Beverly gets the free throw.
Even though Pat Bev is about half his height, right?
Yes.
But he's up in him, just bulldogging him.
Pat Beverly has never forgot what it took him to get to this league.
Okay.
So he's not going to ever skip, not play hard. And, you know, he and Russ go back and forth because Russ was getting ready to call a 20-second timeout, and he tried to steal the ball. He ended up clipping Russ, and Russ missed the rest of the season.
Okay.
I think that was a playoff game. It was a playoff
game.
And he clipped him, and Russ had to have knee surgery. So Pat Bev is never going to relax. You can never relax around him.
Mm-mm.
They didn't play well in the fourth quarter, Skip. They only scored 17 points.
Mm.
That's not good enough to win against that team. That's a big skill. That's a very good defensive team.
So here's the other negative shock to me for LeBron. I always say he's the best passer in basketball. I was happy that he's going to be the point guard of this team. And yet, I was stunned at how slowly he played, and it got slower and slower through the game where he was walk dribbling the ball up the court.
Right.
And there was too many possessions where he would slowly dribble over, and it's like, well, you drift out here to 15, 18 feet, not on the edge of the lane. You just drift out here, and I'll kind of lob it over here. It reminded me of Westbrook and Durant in Oklahoma City. Okay, it's your turn.
Right.
I'll lob it over here. Now, you just go 1-on-2 and figure it out. You go score.
Well, Skip, the thing is, if you're going to run the offense, Anthony Davis, yes, he can shoot the three, he can post, you can do all those things, but if you're running the offense through it, it's not going to be free-flowing. You're not going to see Golden State's offense.
It got really slow.
Yes.
It got clunky to me. It got hard to watch because I didn't see LeBron in attack mode enough.
Right.
It was just slow motion everywhere. And if we could see the 4 key plays that I saw, and 3 of them are LeBron turnovers, this is what I didn't want to see from LeBron in this game. If we could see this, here's the first turnover. He tries to get it to Dwight. Then look at this. LeBron gets a wide open layup and shot it completely over the rim. What are you doing? Then we got another turnover where he dribbles it off his own foot.
Yep.
And this is when it's a close game. And then this is the last turnover with 2 minutes left, and they could have cut it to 6 or 5.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the two turnovers, the one turnover and then the missed whatever that layup thing was, it's a 4-point game at that point.
Right.
So I'm thinking, LeBron's going to take this game over, or maybe AD's going to have his coming out party. Neither came to life at that point.
Yeah, the fourth quarter is really where you think you're going to see these guys rise and shine.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen last night. LeBron had 3 turnovers of the 6 in the fourth quarter. And as you mentioned, 2 points, and he missed a wide open layup. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Skip, you can tell when a guy of that caliber misses a point blank shot like that, you know it's just not his night.
I don't know, because he missed it all the way across and over the rim where it didn't draw iron, I don't think. Yeah, what are you doing?
You know, it's just like, you know what, hey.
Okay.
Not my night.
All right. So, what if What if there hadn't been a Danny Green last night for your team? What a night he had. Are you believing this?
Night.
What if he didn't hit 10 out of 14 shots, 7 of 9 threes for 28 points? Where would you have been?
Well, hold on, Skip. So we're going to pretend like Mo Harkless is going to go 4-for-7 every night?
And yes. I told you yesterday when we were doing our predictions, I really like that pickup.
Excuse me. No, Jermichael Green.
Jermichael
Green
is
going to go 4-for-7.
I like
Mo Harkless, 2 or 3.
Okay, they will. Yeah, they're capable.
Danny Green is capable. Remember, Skip,
I know.
Before Steph Curry came along, Danny Green had the most threes in the NBA Finals series.
Okay.
So he's more than capable.
So think about the irony of last night. Danny Green is number 2's best buddy.
Yeah.
He's almost like his security blanket.
Okay.
He's like his valet, if you will. Like he had to be thrown in. Toronto insisted he was thrown in the trade of number 2 to Toronto because he couldn't exist way up in the frozen north without his security blanket.
But Skippy, he got to have somebody he can talk to.
That's what I mean. Well, and he can, and they are very close. So they go win the championship together. Then they both go to L.A., except one guy shocks the world and chooses Clippers, which opens the door and the salary cap for the other guy to get a big deal to play for the Lakers. And then on opening night, he's your only real bright spot, right? He's your shining light, is the guy who is the security blanket for number 2. And when the game ended, who talked? Who went and hugged each other? It was number 2 and Danny Green. Number 2 didn't go to LeBron or to
LeBron
AD. They're out.
They know each other. It's the same situation like when D-Wade and LeBron played. When LeBron went back to Cleveland, they played each other, you know, and obviously they didn't go sit on the scorer's table.
I think you should make it past tense. LeBron, they knew each other.
They still know each other.
I don't think there's any love lost.
They're fine, Skip.
Okay.
Look, Skip. Why are you making more of this than what it is?
I'm just telling you what I saw last night was stunning.
Skip, the Lakers loss is one game. I remember Magic Johnson's rookie year. You remember, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
And Kareem hit the sky hook. They won the game. And Magic goes and jumps on Kareem and hugging him right in the neck and hugging him. And Kareem said, hold on, Rook. We got 81 more of these. Calm down, Skip. We got 81 more of these things.
You've been predicting for weeks on this show that the Lakers were just going to do a number and put them back in their place on opening night.
I predicted 56 wins.
Okay.
We got 56 to get it. We got 81 games to win 56 games.
Boy, that's 81. You got to win 56 out of 81. That's going to be quite a run, man.
So?
And you have to play these guys 3 more times.
Okay.
Okay?
They're
you
back
got this?
I'm predicting... Next 20 games, we probably won't lose, but like 2-3.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So Friday night against Utah.
I'll take due on.
Who we got Friday?
Utah.
You want some of that? You want Utah?
No.
Oh, you're old. But you like Utah.
I picked the Rockets to get to the final.
You like Utah to have a better record. Oh, they're going to be the Stifle Tower. Oh, and they got Mike Conley.
Well, is this at Staples? Yes.
Home game.
Okay.
What are they going to do?
Okay, well, I'll take. What did you say they're going to win?
56.
No, of the next 20, they'll win 18?
I said they win 17, 18. Yes, 17.
18. I think you said 18.
17 or 18.
Okay, I'll take.
What are we sticking with?
I'll take a case of due for less than 18-2.
No.
No?
Give me 17-3. hold up. Get not counting this game.
Extra.
We already
this
lost this
count.
Game.
This one doesn't count.
So we already lost this one. So this one don't count.
Okay.
So we won't lose. Of the next 20 games, we won't lose
okay.
3.
I like this.
Yeah, except I need to. I'll do it the next the next hobby because I got to go look at the schedule.
Okay, fine.
I got to see what
we
the away games are.
We will allow you to look at the schedule.
Because I
got to
see how many L's are on the road.
Well, I got to look at the schedule too. This thank you. Give me an opportunity.
I like these mini bets within the big bet. This is gonna be a fun season. No mercy. Well, guys, last week on The Herd with Colin Cowherd, Urban Meyer said that the Cowboys job was one that as a coach you couldn't say no to. It should come as no surprise that Jerry Jones was a fan of Urban's comments. Take a listen.
For Urban Meyer to say that is a compliment, period. And I really know that. The job is a great job. Now, that's not implying that I made it that way or I don't make it that way. If you'd like to go to center stage, if you'd like to have to answer or have an opportunity to be at the very top, then our organization gives you that opportunity. It doesn't surprise me that Urban would have that kind of opinion of the head coaching job of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, Shannon, do you agree with Jerry that this is a great job?
Hell no. And when was the last time the Cowboys been at the top? I missed something.
Hmm. Uh-oh.
Now, I've been on this earth 51 years.
Hmm. Yeah.
In the last 21, I've been in my right mind and I hadn't slept, hibernated. I'm not Rip Van Winkle. Hmm. So what the hell are you talking about? What top?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can.
When have they not been at the top of the ratings?
Oh, see, ratings. Yep. Oh, so that's
ratings,
what you're about.
Ratings.
Oh, so they got 25 Emmys, but yeah, they damn sure ain't got no Lombardis. I'm talking about Lombardis in the last 25 years.
Did you see what the Sunday night game rated? It was the best in 5 years on NBC Sunday night.
Okay. Do they hang banners for that? I just need to know what they hang banners for.
That's what he's talking about. Knocks. Center stage, he said. This is center
this
stage.
This is why it's not a great job, because most coaches don't get into coaching to be on TV. Hmm. They get on. They get into coaching because they love the profession and they want to build a team. They want to coach players. And some have influence on men's lives and can help shape their lives even after they become professionals. Jerry Jones got into ownership because he wanted to be known. Because
he actually wanted to coach, but go ahead. Skip. Seriously, he wanted to coach.
They're probably, Jerry Jones is not the wealthiest owner in the NFL.
No.
But when you think of owners in the NFL, who do you think about first, Skip? Jerry Jones is not the wealthiest man in the world.
He bought this team on a shoestring, trust me.
Yeah.
He had to rob Peter to pay Paul and leverage and mortgage, and he got a great deal from Bum Bright because Bum Bright wanted to sell to Jerry Jones.
That's cool.
Because he knew he was going to eliminate Tom Landry.
Right. Skip. If the Maras own the Cowboys, if Mr. Kraft own the Cowboys, you talk about, see, the Maras understand, they've been, or the Rooneys, the Maras, John Mara, his dad, Wellington, they've been the Giants 80, 90 years.
Yep.
They understand that you hire the best people, you let them do their job.
They do.
You stay in the background.
Correct.
Mr. Kraft, oh my goodness. A man that could be center stage. All they do is win every year. Don't care nothing about no ratings. They ain't probably getting no ratings. I don't know what Monday Night did. Probably ain't do nothing. But I tell you what they do, they hang banners every other year.
Mm.
That's what they do. Skip, this would be a wonderful job if Jerry allowed coaches to do their job. But he doesn't. Skip, and he said something that, you know, he loved, you know, Jason Garrett. He had another comment, Skip, that Jason Garrett is not a yes man.
Yep. Yeah.
That's exactly what he is, because that's what you have to have. See, another reason why it's not a great job, Skip, what owner would be as openly and blatantly as disrespectful as Jerry is to Jason Garrett? What? Skip, do you actually think Bill Belichick would stay on the coach, Belichick would stay on the job if Mr. Kraft said, I'm looking for a reason to keep him? Do you think Sean Payton would stay on the job if Ms. Benson, Gail Benson, said, I'm looking for a reason to keep him? What in the hell is that about? And you know, that's a great job. Skip, I love my job, but my bosses don't tell me what to say. Oh, I'm just looking for a reason to keep Shannon on Undisputed with Skip. What the hell? What the hell? Skip, come on, man.
That would not
look. I get it, Jerry. You're the most profitable sporting franchise in all the world. The most, everybody knows you. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the brand, the star. But just because your brand recognition is an all-time high doesn't mean that it's great, because you make it. The only thing that Jason Garrett does is Sundays. And the only reason he does that is because there's no communication. Because if Jerry could buzz down there like Buffalo Wild Wings, Jerry would buzz down there and tell him to call this play or call timeout here.
I agree.
He would, but he can't. So, no, this is not a great job, because Jerry makes it not a great job. If he would stay his butt out the way, it would be an all-time great job. Let the Rooneys, the Maras, have this organization. Ain't no telling how many championships that this thing would have.
To your point, I remind everyone that about a year after Jerry bought the team in 1989, he told Vanity Fair, I could coach the you-know-what out of this team. I could coach the you-know-what out of this team.
Right.
Whew. That's what he still believes to this day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you that. That's what's wrong with this job. That's why the degree of difficulty is extremely high for the coach to have to navigate the owner GM to get to coach the team.
Right.
I will give you all that. But if I just step back from the job and look at it in the big picture of all the other jobs, if this job came open, it would simply be the best job in all of pro football. And I get you, because you're handicapped by Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
But if you step back like Urban Meyer did the other day when he was on Colin Cowherd's show, and he's just sort of looking from afar off the top of his head at the job, and he's saying, oh, I'm going to quote Urban here, that's the one job. That's the New York Yankees. That's the Dallas Cowboys, right? So, you, again, you're looking, that's maybe blast from the past, but they are still considered Yankee-esque, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And right away, Urban said they got Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and then he goes on to say a loaded team. Well, it is. It's loaded, man.
Right.
And it's still, it's young. Mm-hmm. And if Jerry can figure out the other contracts, Dak and Amari, which I think he will, and then on down the line to Byron Jones and others, it's going to stay loaded for a good while. They could have a potentially dynastic run if they ever break through and win one Super Bowl. I think it could lead on. And you could have what happened in the 90s, Jerry, Jimmy Johnson, and then Barry Switzer with the last one. You have that potential. So Urban's just looking at, like, to me, that's the one job, he said. And Colin asked him, you know, would you be interested? Would you listen if they called you? And he said, absolutely, absolutely, because that's the one. That's what he's saying, where he's looking at the quarterback. He likes the quarterback, obviously, because he mentioned him first. And he knows exactly what Ezekiel Elliott can do because he carried him to a national championship.
Correct.
Okay, so he's saying, who wouldn't be interested? And he didn't go into this, obviously, but you and I know, albeit Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. But anybody in his right mind would say, yeah, I got to take a shot at that. And that's what Jerry was saying. It has nothing to do with anything I built or anything I did. Yeah. It's just here. This is what it is.
Sean Payton had 1 year on his deal. Sean Payton could have got word to Jerry. Jerry, come get your boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
If he wanted that job, it's so desirable.
Well, for the longest time, Sean Payton had a house in Dallas because he had coached in Dallas and he kept the house. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But coaches like Sean Payton, coaches like Bill Belichick, no. You're not addressing the team. You're not telling me when we're going to practice. You're not going to tell me what we should do on fourth down. That's not going to happen. That's what makes this. Skip, look, like I said, of course, any job in the NFL, because it's only 32. Of all the coaches, there's only 32 professional NFL teams. There's only one head coach per team. So it's one of 32. Of 7 billion people, you're one of 32 that has that job. But he makes that job less desirable because of him.
Okay.
Look, obviously, all jobs are not created equal, but it's one of 32. Mm-hmm. Obviously, having a job at the Cowboys or the Steelers is different than having a job in Cincinnati and Cleveland.
Yeah, I got it.
We get that.
Okay.
But when is Jerry going to get out the way? Skip, let me ask you a question.
He's never going to get out the way.
Okay,
ever.
Skip.
No.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Take this same football team as it's constructed in Dallas, and give it to Bill Belichick in New England. What do you think happens?
You know, it's hard to say because he's built such a different culture where nobody's a star except the quarterback who doesn't act like a star in New England, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys are star-studded. Like they got potential superstars all across the ball.
The thing is, see, what has happened is Jerry has convinced them, and he's convinced the world, that our brand, we don't win, but you just said, look at the ratings, the highest ratings in 5 years. And what did they win because of that? They won a regular season game. You don't win a Lombardi for that. You don't win an NFC championship for that. But you generate
and
ratings.
And you know what happens every year. You'll go back and look at the ratings for the year, and Dallas will have, like,
five of the top ten.
Whatever.
Yes.
They'll have the top three.
Yeah, but
they just will.
Yeah.
But when you look at TV ratings, NFL's going to have 42 of the top 50, 42, 44 of the top 50. So NFL rules television.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We know that. Skip, that's why they pay big bucks to get that package. Mm-hmm. If you want live entertainment, mm-hmm. what do you want? You want the NFL.
Mm.
All this other stuff is good. It's great. Mm. But you want that.
Yeah,
you want that shield.
In my earlier days in the business, because I was doing a show on ESPN in New York on Sundays, and I would go hang around at CBS when Terry Bradshaw was there, and I got to know everybody there, and all the producers had one motto: when in doubt, talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. That was their pregame show motto. When in doubt, if it's 50-50, just do the Cowboys.
Yeah, think about all the networks have had the NFL. Nah, we don't need the NFL. It's costing too much. And when they gave it up, what ultimately happened? They came and got it back.
Yeah.
NBC had it. Nah, we don't want it no more. They came and got it back. CBS had it. Skip, as a matter of fact, that's how Fox became. Fox became what we know it as mm-hmm. when they got the NFC package from CBS.
That is correct. And that's why he's got that look on his face, Jerry Jones. Like, I got this.
Wait, hold on. I got to show the look. Yeah. There it is. That is the
that's
look.
That's the look.
So we understand what the NFL does. But, Skip, this job would be so much better if Jerry didn't undercut his coach
at
every turn.
And then what was Jerry's other line? And you were talking about Jason's not a yes man. Yes, he is a yes man.
Yes.
And then Jerry asked the question, is Jason respectful of the order of things? Yes, he is. Yes.
But see,
okay, that's the definition to me of a yes man.
Thank you. But here's the thing, Skip. The thing that makes a really good boss is not only does he command respect, but he's also willing to give it.
Yep.
You think Jerry Jones is respectful of Jason Garrett? The mere fact that he second guesses him publicly lets you know he's not respectful. The mere fact that this man said publicly, Skip, I'm looking for a reason to keep him.
Okay, and if Jerry Jones were sitting right here, what he would tell you on a lie detector, I don't know if he'd say it on TV, but he would say, I tried to get out of the way one time for Bill Parcells. Yeah. I tried this. He's a Hall of Fame coach.
Right.
He was decorated. He's got all kinds of championships on his belt, right? And I tried it, and it flamed out.
Right.
It failed miserably, right?
Yeah.
So he would say, I did it once, and it didn't work, so why wouldn't I go back to the way I do it?
But here's the thing. Coach Parcells says, I don't want T.O.
He
said I got control. I don't want
to. To the point, he wouldn't even call his name.
Yeah.
He called him the player.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't even call his number.
Yeah. He said, okay, you say I got control of the 53. Yeah. I don't want him. Jerry says, I do.
And the bridge was on fire there, and then it just burned to the
That's
ground.
It.
That was it. I totally agree. But I still say, if you posted this job, you know, on the internet.
On LinkedIn. Like,
let's do that. Let's just see the traction.
Hey, how many people would apply?
Right.
If it opened tomorrow,
I'd throw
who knows,
my name
you know?
In that. You know?
Right.
Why not?
Look,
the man says, you hired a man, you say he has control, and if he says he doesn't want a player, you go get it. Okay, I have a shellfish allergy. Okay, my people know that. I got a girlfriend, you know, and I come home and she frying up shrimp or scallop.
Mm. This is a hypothetical.
No,
right?
I have a real shellfish allergy.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
But then the second part of the story was hypothetical.
No, yeah, hypothetically, I come home and she cooking up some shrimp, cooking up some scallops.
Okay.
What are you gonna do?
Somebody's out.
Yeah.
That's it. Huh? What if she didn't know?
Oh, but see, we already talked about that. Because I can't run the risk. So we already, you know, we put it. Here's all my cards right here.
Mm.
I'm allergic to this. Then you know what? You got any allergies? You know, nut allergies, anything like that? Okay.
Are you announcing you do have someone?
No.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, that's what.
No, she's been sent home.
Oh, she's already been sent home. That's the hypothetical.
Okay. I'm saying, you know, Coach Parcells says I do not want T.O. Jerry says I do, and so you bring him in.
Okay.
So
what's going to happen?
So you already.
No, I got it. I got it.
Jerry.
I still say, and remember, this conversation started because the speculation has been out there that Lincoln Riley would be the apple of Jerry's eye next year if it didn't work out with Jason Garrett. And the idea with Urban was, well, do you think you know Lincoln a little bit enough to know would he be interested? And that's how that conversation took off. Would Lincoln Riley be interested? Sure he would.
Yeah.
Is Oklahoma a great job and a great place? Did Bob Stoops stay there forever for too long? Yes, he did. But again, Texas.
But Lincoln Riley making $6.3 million.
Yeah,
what Jerry going to pay?
Probably five.
Oh, hell no. You ain't taking no pay cut. Hello, Skip. If I'm in college.
You have to take an America's Team discount.
Lincoln's in a good position.
Yes.
Happy there. He always talks about how much he enjoys it. I think he doesn't move yet, truthfully.
Okay.
I don't get the sense that he's.
You got to give me at least my salary, Skip.
I don't know. Lincoln would look at this roster and say, whew, got Dak and Zeke and the offensive line and DeMarcus Lawrence and I don't know.
I mean, he ain't got the president telling him what plays to call and all that other stuff. The AD all breathing down his neck. Lincoln Riley gets to run his ship how he
wants.
He
does.
If he wins it, maybe I would change my mind.
Maybe.
But until that happens, I don't know if I see that, him making a move. Love Lincoln Riley, though.
No mercy.
Lonzo Ball and the Pelicans began their season in Toronto taking on the reigning champs through three quarters. The Pelicans trailed by 2 points, and Lonzo had played the third most minutes on the team. But head coach Alvin Gentry benched Lonzo for the entire fourth quarter along with starter Derek Favors. Ultimately, the Pelicans would lose by 8 in overtime as Lonzo played 3.5 of the 5 minutes in OT. And Skip, I want to know, what do you make of Alvin Gentry benching Lonzo in the fourth?
Look, I was pleasantly surprised by how well Lonzo started the game right out of the box last night, because he came out with conviction and supreme confidence and actually played very well against the defending champs in Toronto on TNT. Okay. But then I was unpleasantly shocked by what Alvin Gentry did to Lonzo Ball with 6:29 left in the third quarter, as Jenny points out.
Yeah.
He benched him.
Yep.
Not just for the rest of the third quarter, for the rest of the game regulation. All of the rest of the third quarter and all of the fourth quarter, Lonzo had to sit. Lonzo did not look happy to me on the bench, because he should not have looked happy. Mm-mm. Because Alvin Gentry, and I'm a fan of Alvin's, I've known him forever, but Alvin Gentry did to Lonzo what Luke Walton often did. Lonzo got Luke Walton again last night. What would Luke do through the first couple of years in L.A.? He would play him for a stretch, and then he would bench him bizarrely for a long stretch.
Yep.
And that set off LaVar Ball, who quickly called for Luke's job, that he wanted him fired, and claimed that Luke had, he sat right here and said it, Luke had lost the team starting with these bizarre benchings of Lonzo Ball. So what really disturbed me about this was that Lonzo did play so well that he didn't deserve to be benched. Can we see the first three that he took and made? This is early in the game. He just comes straight down the floor and he pulls up deep three. Watch this. And rips it. And that looked like a new guy. And then he pulls off this inside out pass that is rare.
That was a great gifted pass.
And it was something. It was, there's the shot. Woo! Here's the pass. Inside out. Whew. They're just not many. LeBron could probably pull that off, but there aren't many who in the history of this league could pull off that little inside out wristy, you know, bend pass. And so he's playing well. He gets benched, and I realized that Alvin was trying to ride a hot, weird lineup that he found featuring Frank Jackson and Josh Hart in the backcourt with Drew Holiday. But then double weird was we go all the way through regulation. They're tied. And he sends the starting five back onto the floor, and Lonzo's like jumping, doing jumping jacks on the court to try to warm up. When he got the tip in overtime, he's hopping up the court like trying to get his legs back in motion because he needed to stretch again.
Right.
You needed another pregame warm-up, right?
Or go get on the bike or something.
Yeah, go something, because that's just flat-out unfair.
Yeah.
What is Alvin thinking? And I didn't see any quotes from him. Maybe we'll have some today. I'm not sure he was even asked about it after the game. But all I know is this was an opening night bad sign for Lonzo Ball in New Orleans, and I don't get it.
Skip, I can't disagree with you. Because when I'm watching, I was like, okay, he went to the bench. He's going to take his rest.
Sure.
He's going to come back in the third quarter. The fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, normal, okay,
Yeah.
I didn't think anything about it.
Right.
Lonzo's going to come back at the start of the fourth quarter. He's going to finish this game out.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, he doesn't come out. I said, well, maybe he's getting an extended rest.
Hmm.
And here we are at 6 minutes. And he's still not back in the ball game.
Hmm.
So now I'm starting to think, is he hurt? I mean, I didn't nobody.
I did too. I thought, is he ill?
So
and maybe maybe we'll find out today he was under the weather.
Right.
But I don't know that.
So at this point, Skip, at 6 minutes, I cut the volume on. So I want to hear if he's hurt or not, because I'm not listening to the volume. I said, well, maybe this ain't. So still nothing. Skip, this is not a good sign, because it tells me is that they're viewing Lonzo as someone they don't have to have on the floor late in the ball game.
Yeah, because if you're the leader and the new point guard, you have to put him back in the game midway fourth quarter, right?
Yes, and Skip, remember, he was one of the linchpin pieces that they wanted for Anthony Davis.
Okay.
So for me, I'm like, and you mentioned it, we saw this from Luke Walton. And you're right, LaVar was up in arms. Like, I mean, the guy plays great, and you bench him for basically, he was basically benched for 30 minutes of real time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, I mean, just sitting down,
yeah,
I don't.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah. And I know the Laker game started, so a lot of people lost touch with what was really happening.
Right.
Right.
But this happened.
Skip, and I get it, you know, he came out and hit those two shots, and he can be a liability shooting the ball in the fourth quarter.
Here's a guy. But he even made his two free throws he took, and that was a real liability last year.
Right. But this is not, I agree with you, Skip. This is not a good sign. Mm-hmm. The very first game, I can see over the stretch of, say, 10, 15, 20 games, Skip, he's not giving you the production that you thought he would give you late in the ball game. He's missing shots. Mm-hmm. He's not aggressive, not going to, because he doesn't want to get fouled or shoot free throws. Okay, then he becomes unplayable. But the first game? This is his first game.
Really?
And you take this.
Huh. And was it a high turnover game by Lonzo?
No, he had one. But he had five assists.
Hmm.
So
he was playing pretty well. I don't get it.
I don't get this move either.
And I respect Frank Jackson. He's a nice player, but he's just a backup.
Right.
And you could ride the hot hand for a little while in the fourth quarter, but the whole way?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. They rode Josh Hart. I mean, he played unbelievably.
And he did.
15 points. 15.
He did.
But, Skip, that's him. Josh Hart's going to play. He's going to play
Love
hard.
Him.
He's going to play defense.
Got
he's
going to
hit big
man.
Shots. Yes.
Yep.
But I'm surprised. I'm surprised that the first game of the season, they did this to Lonzo. And I don't think he deserved, you know, I'm not, you know, I think you think he's transcendent. I think he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he deserved this. Not the first game of the season. Like I said, you're 20 games, 30 games into the season.
Yeah.
He's not hitting shots in the fourth quarter, Skip. He's not aggressive because he doesn't want to get fouled.
Okay, so got it.
I get that.
Got it.
But not the first game.
Not the first game. And not off playing pretty well. In fact, I'm going to go to very well.
Yes.
And what I hate the most about this, my biggest takeaway is, obviously, as a Laker, Lonzo was often hurt, too often hurt.
Yes.
Was it wearing big baller brand shoes that were exploding and he'd have to put on a new pair each quarter, he said? Maybe. But what else got hurt? What got damaged the most? His pride,
right.
His confidence. Mm-hmm. They got wrecked by Luke Walton and just the whole circumstance. And Magic said one day that number two is going to hang up in the rafters, right?
Yeah.
And it hurt this kid's confidence. His mm-hmm. father painted the biggest target on his back any kid's ever had painted on his back. And I'm thinking, new start, change of scenery, New Orleans. I was hoping to see Zion and Lonzo on the break.
Yeah. Right.
You didn't get to see that yet. And what happens? Right out of the box, his confidence gets dented again. I'm not sure it got wrecked, but it can't help his confidence.
No, this is not a good sign.
Okay, so now he comes out the next game, and I'm sure he'll start the next game, and you don't think he's going to be looking over his shoulder at his coach? And it starts making it harder when you go up that supremely confident new stroke that's more on the right side of your face. Well, the next game, he'll go up for the first shot thinking, what if I miss this?
Right.
So mental.
And that's what's in the back of his mind because he's like, because he's been two locations, Skip.
Yep.
And we see a reoccurring theme. Now, the coach has changed. Supposedly, his situation has changed.
Well, I'm going to have to read into it that through the preseason, there's some clash going on with him and Alvin. Like Alvin's saying, I got to teach the kid more of a new lesson here. Like maybe he thinks he's got too much spoiled brat in him.
There's more to it. Yeah.
Well, something. This is not a good look. This is not the foot Lonzo wanted to get off on.
I say no.
I mean, you're the starting point guard, and you don't play for basically 18, 19 minutes from midway through the third all the way through you don't get again into the game until OT?
Yep. I'm hoping we hear today he had a stomach bug,
but
I don't think we'll hear that because he did put him right back out there for the overtime, which I thought was double unfair.
Now go get it done.
Now do it.
Yeah, you know.
And by the way, he and the whole team just did nothing in overtime.
No, overtime was.
But Skip, they still. I mean, ride the hot hair. Ride the horse that you've been riding for the last 15 years.
If you're going to do that, just let them play.
At that point. So next up for the Pelicans, they are home. It's their home opener Friday against the Mavs. So we'll be watching that one closely to see what plays out. No mercy. The Clippers took down the Lakers 112-102 last night, but both teams were missing key players. Rajon Rondo and Kyle Kuzma were both inactive for the Lakers, and Paul George was out for the Clippers. LeBron James spoke after the game on how both teams have room to improve. Take a listen.
The NBA is back, and that's what everybody's trying to have the narrative of a rivalry game, and it is a huge test. I think both teams are not who they want to be. We have a lot of room to improve. We're a new group that's coming together. We have a new coaching staff. We have a new system.
Shannon, which team will benefit more from getting their roster back to full strength?
Skip, I think the easy answer that everybody thinks is going to be the Clippers because of Paul George is obviously the better of the players that would be coming back. But I think because he and Kawhi play the same position, they're going to have to figure this chemistry thing out. I believe it's going to be the Lakers because I believe whether you slide Kuzma into the starting lineup or you let him come off the bench, they need scoring off the bench. And the thing that the Clippers, because if you look at the scoring, the starters for the Clippers, Skip, they only scored about maybe 50 points, a little over 50 points. And then you got the bench that did the heavy lifting. So, and the Lakers, they got 19 points from their bench. That's not nearly enough. So if you slide Kuzma to the bench, that's an 18-point score. If you put Kuzma in the starting lineup and you slide Avery Bradley, that's more production coming off the bench. So you need production coming off the bench, and it also provides you depth. So for me, I think it's going to be the Lakers. As LeBron mentioned, it's going to take them a little longer. That's the same system. Kawhi was really the only guy that they've had to plug in. Shamet, Zubats, Patrick Beverly, they've been there. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, those guys have been there. So for me, Skip, I honestly believe that the Lakers, that once they get their piece in Rondo, LeBron played primarily on the ball. He didn't play off the ball, I don't believe, at any point last night. Tried and they turned it over. So you get Rondo back, so now you have another ball handler because we know the combination that happened in New Orleans, Rondo and AD. That was a great, pick and roll. They can do a lot of different things. And so I think when you get Kuzma, you get Rondo back, I think that's going to be a bigger benefit to the Lakers than having Paul George come back to the Clippers.
Completely disagree. Who did number two handpick to join him with the Clippers? He went out of his way to say, I want that guy. Yeah. What did Doc say when they met with number two up in Malibu, I think? I want that guy. Oh, okay. And he went and got that guy.
Right.
Well, then I'm pretty sure he's pretty sure he can play with that guy because they can just play on opposite wings and they both love to defend. Paul George loves to defend.
Yeah.
He's got it in his blood.
Oh, he's a little
He is defender. As disruptive a defender as we see in the league because he is great at deflections.
Yes.
He led the league in deflections, just tipping the ball up in the air, long, quick, and defensive-minded. Yep. So they're the same guy, but you can just put them on opposite wings on defense. They don't have to blend, when they're playing defense, they can just be cogs in the attack,
right? Yeah,
but
you got to play offense, too.
Okay, though. All right. I think they'll be just fine because I don't see Paul as a selfish guy. I just don't. I think he'll blend right in on offense, and they'll all lean on each other because you can lean on your bench. You don't have to play 38 minutes a night.
No.
You can play 30 or 31 and let those other guys hold it down, if not take it up a notch.
Right.
So, to me, when I look at the Lakers, Kuzma is the X factor. They could have used Kuzma. Now, Danny Green had like a career night last night shooting. But here's the problem with Kyle Kuzma. This is what's great and bad about him. He has never met a shot he didn't love. Not like. He loves every shot. Yeah. And he will take every shot. Are you sure you can blend him right in? Because sometimes he's hard to find the right chemical fit with, right? So is he going to drive them a little crazy? Because he'll just come off the bench when they may start him. I don't know. Right. But he'll just come out firing, right? Because he did last year.
Yeah, I think because he's going to be out for such an extended period of time, Skip, I think you bring him off the bench. I don't think you just insert him in the lineup because how many minutes do you actually think he can play?
Okay, and he says he has done nothing for 2 months because he's got a bad foot injury that he heard playing and practicing for Team USA.
Right.
And he still said yesterday, I just haven't been able to do anything.
Right.
So I don't even know what you're projecting when he's going to come back.
Right. They didn't put a timetable on it.
So what did I see last night? I saw LeBron. This stunned me because I was looking forward to LeBron running the point. It got a little slow motion. It got a little walking dribble, and then I'm just going to lob it over here to AD, and he can go one-on-two and create a shot. And sometimes in the first half, he pulled that off.
Right.
I'm starting to wonder, is Rondo maybe the better fit at point guard where you can get LeBron more involved if he goes to one wing and AD goes to the other?
Right.
And you start actually running sets, running plays?
Well, that might be the possibility, Skip, but I think the thing is, like as you mentioned, it's so hard to constantly score in the half-court set. Yep. You got to try to get easy baskets. You got to try to get the ball off the rim and try to push it up the court. And they were outscored in fast break points Lakers only had 5. The Clippers had 22.
They just played slow.
Right.
With LeBron.
You got to get easy buckets. You got to get cheap points.
Rondo has a calf injury, and you know what happens with calves. I don't know how long that's going to take.
Exactly.
Which brings me to the one X factor, and people will laugh when I bring this up, but Kawhi Leonard went out of his way on TNT after the game to say, we're missing a couple of pieces, and he referred to Rodney Magruder as a great defender who can space the floor.
Right.
So you don't think that's going to help? He's day-to-day with an ankle injury.
Right.
You don't think that's going to make their depth even stronger defensively? Wow.
Skip. Okay. Now, they're going to be an elite defensive team.
Yep.
Because even if Magruder doesn't come back anytime soon, you get Paul George, elite defender. You get Kawhi, an elite defender. Mm-hmm. And you get Pat Bev, might be the best at like guard defender in all of basketball. So you get those guys. Trez, he's going to challenge you at the rim. He'll take a charge. So they're an elite defensive team without Magruder. So we already knew they were going to be elite. Now, if they're going to get buckets like they got last night, they're going to get Harkless hitting buckets like that. Mm-hmm. And they get these other guys chipping in. Michael Green, Lou Williams can shoot the three. If they get those guys, all bets are off of me. Mm-hmm.
Landry Shamet can shoot
three. Yeah. Okay.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Yeah. No mercy.
Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh may be eyeing a return to the NFL. According to a report, Harbaugh's reps have been testing the waters to see if there's any interest in the head coach. However, this morning, Harbaugh issued a statement to his players' parents saying the reports are, quote, total crap, and that he doesn't even have a representative or an agent. So, Shannon, should an NFL team hire Harbaugh?
No. Skip, because he has a short shelf life. If he goes to a rebuilding situation, by the time he starts to get it turned around, you're sick of him. He grinds on people. And when he was in, and everybody's like, well, you see what he did with Stanford? Yep. And that's how he got the job at San Francisco. And you see what he's doing at Michigan? You see what happened in Skip, what you're starting to see when he has a team in Michigan and they have the same, and the other opposing team has the same level of talent, he loses. He hadn't beat Michigan State. He hadn't beat Ohio State yet. Beat Michigan State, what, once? So at some point in time in the NFL is what? All the teams are talented. And the team that he had in San Francisco was immensely talented. People don't realize just how talented that football team was, Skip. They were loaded. They were a big, physical football team. But, Skip, he starts to grind on you. I know people that played under him and coached with him. He grinds on you. And if after a while you're like, I'm ready to either he go his way or I go my way, but we need to separate. Hmm. And that's what happens.
If I owned an NFL team and I was struggling, I would jump at the chance to hire Jim Harbaugh to take over my franchise.
Michigan did that. How'd he look?
Well, that's a college team. Oh. And by the way, when he started at the University of San Diego, he immediately turned that program mm-hmm. completely around. And then he goes to Stanford and completely turned that program mm-hmm. around. And then he goes to the 49ers and he goes the first 3 years to the NFC Championship game. And he won one of them and nearly won a Super Bowl. It cost him at the end of the game. There was a controversial non-call. They could have won that game, the Super Bowl. This is the man. This is what shocks me about you. But this is the man who had the vision and guts to elevate Colin Kaepernick into the starting lineup in place of Alex Smith at midseason and stick with him and go all the way to the last play of the Super Bowl that should have been called pass interference, and I believe they would have won the game. So all he did was go as the San Francisco coach 44-19-1. Is that good?
Yeah.
That's great. He went 5-3 in the postseason. And for what it's worth, he's 43-16 at Michigan, but obviously he has not beaten any of the good teams. Mm-mm. He's 1-3 in bowl games.
Yeah, and 1-10 against top 10 teams. 1-10 against top 10.
I get that. I don't know why it went wrong, because that's his alma mater, and I thought he was going home to turn it around.
But, Skip, here's the thing. But in San Francisco, he had that great record, but then what happened? He wore on people.
Okay.
And they couldn't wait to get him up out of
there. Well, if I owned a team and I thought I could get 3 great years out of him, I'd let him wear on me all he wanted to.
But here's the thing, Skip. If you're in a rebuild, by the time he starts to start, you see any resemblance of it turning around, you're ready for him to go. Because, like you said, you read his resume in San Francisco, and they couldn't wait to get him up out of there. So what does that tell you, Skip? What is that telling you?
That they didn't want him gone for the first 3 years because they were rolling.
Exactly.
Right?
So the first 3 years should have brought him, what, at least another 2-3 years. But they're like, nah, we good.
I'm shocked at what he hasn't been able to do at Michigan, because I thought he could recruit the top prospects from around the country, and his recruiting methods were a little wacky to the point I think he started turning kids off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want somebody to hold your, you know, the chain mark at your ball game or go in your treehouse, that's your guy. But if you want to play for the national championship, go on down there and see St. Nick. Or go see Dabo.
They have a chance
see Lincoln Riley.
To get back on track this weekend. They're playing Notre Dame, ninth-ranked Notre Dame. That's a
big deal.
They could get the win.
That's a hot seat game if they lose that at home.
You want Michigan?
No, I don't.
Well,
what do you mean?
Wait a second. I already cleaned you out on Michigan last year.
Hold on. Tell about
you bet me 5 cases that they would lose, five games?
This is what I don't understand about you. You don't want to take Michigan, but if you own a team, you're going to hire him as your coach.
Do you realize how many top draft picks they lost on defense? And I knew they had them last year, which is why I took that bet.
That's why I wouldn't hire him. Yeah. With all those top draft picks, he ain't win nothing.
Yeah.
That's why I wouldn't hire him, Jenny.
They were all hurt at the Ohio State.
Oh, Lord.
They were injured.
So the whole year?
No, at Ohio State, they're all hurt, or they got hurt during the game.
Bush
Even Devin
injured.
Bush got injured.
Yeah, that was you a tough
David
one.
Long got injured. Chase Winovich was already injured.
You ought to be shaming yourself.
No, I'm not.
There were injuries.
What about the previous year?
I can't defend him there,
if
but I can sure defend him at the 49ers.
That would be big for them to get back on track in terms of his reputation. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.